Okay, so yeah, we're looking at 1 John. Now, the Bible passage is chapter 2, 28 and then 3 to 10. We'll get to that just in a second, but I'll tell you what, as I've been going through 1 John, I have been enjoying this book. I have been enjoying the letter that John writes. It's so encouraging for us as Christians. John's goal is for us as believers to walk of assurance, knowing we have eternal life in Jesus. Just think about that passage we read in chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. What great confidence that John wants to give us. So let's read this passage, and we'll read that verse again. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who practices, whoever makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or know him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Isn't that a pretty convicting passage? Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words, and we pray that it will convict us, Lord, and we pray that we will know you more and know what our life in you is to be like. We pray this through Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, we can all suffer a bit of a lack of confidence in life. I'm probably at the moment thinking about the upcoming elections coming up. We probably feel a bit of a lack of confidence in our politicians and what they're going to do for our country. Some are probably feeling a bit of lack of confidence in Boeing 737. I don't know if you've heard, they've had a couple of crashes and recalled their one of their series. I wonder if you have confidence in God, confidence knowing you're okay with God, that life will have a happy ending. In a sense, everything will work out. John wants his readers and us to have complete confidence in who we are in Jesus. This is not some kind of self-esteem message, like you have confidence in yourself, because we know, as people, we go up and down in all that sort of stuff. You know, some days we feel good, some days we feel bad, some days everything outside of us makes us feel different ways. Now, John is referring to a confidence in Jesus, a confidence of what Jesus has done through the cross, and a confidence in what God has declared us to be as his children. Remember that Jesus has appeared, and he is the eternal life who has given us eternal life. So John wants us to walk in assurance of these things, walk in assurance that we really do have eternal life in Jesus. So in John 1:28-3:10, God's word through the Apostle John, the witness, the testimony of John, the Apostle there reveals two things. So we've got a three-point sermon, we've got a two-point sermon today. Two things that give us confidence as we are walking as children of God. And the first thing is that we belong to Jesus as a child of God, and secondly, we are becoming like Jesus as a child of God. So I think what I want to sort of grasp about this is about being in the family of God, belonging and resembling the family of God. So many religions outside of Christianity, and sometimes even claiming Christianity, will cause people to doubt. Doubt whether they're really okay with God. And what they tend to do is cause people to depend on the religion itself. And as we saw last week, some Christians can make you feel a bit unsure as whether you are a Christian as well, whether you've been anointed by the Holy Spirit. There's lots of different tensions there within different thinking, within different denominations. But in many religions, outside of Christianity, people are really unsure whether they're going to be okay. Have I done enough religious things to be accepted by God? Well, right through John's letter, his goal is for them and us to know that we have eternal life. It is something that we can have, we can be sure of. John wants them and us not to shrink back and have doubts about whether we really are a child of God. John doesn't want us to doubt who we are because Jesus died for us on the cross. So I want to look at our first point. Our first point is that we can have confidence that we are a child of God, confidence that we belong to God, that we are a child of God. Let me read that passage again, verses 28 to 3:3. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world doesn't know us is that they didn't know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. I don't know if you noticed, but in our series on John, there's not a very clear picture up there, but you'll see it on the website, a bigger picture. We have a picture of a bridge. And the idea was that as you look at the bridge and you see how well it's built, you have confidence to walk on that bridge with full assurance you'll get across it. We don't normally like walking on bridges that look like we're going to fall down and break. You have confidence that you're going to get to the other side. And so John, in verse 28, wants us to have confidence in Jesus. That as we walk or we run or whatever speed we're travelling at, it's Jesus the bridge that gets us to the other side. It's all about having complete confidence in Jesus. Like I said, it isn't a confidence within us. It's not something that we're trying to talk ourselves into, it's some sort of self-esteem, but it's a trust in Jesus. You know, faith is actually trusting in something. Faith is walking across the bridge. It's putting what you believe into action. And so as we trust Jesus, as we're walking across that secure bridge, we can walk with confidence, knowing and trusting Jesus. That's the key of John's letter. We are, like John says, his little children. We belong to God. We are ones who are abiding in him. And our lives are connected to Jesus in every way. So as we're on the bridge, we're connected to Jesus. As we're walking on the bridge, we're trusting our lives into Jesus. We're remaining in Jesus as we stay on the bridge, as we are eternally secure on that bridge. And we have no reason to leave the bridge. It makes no sense. If we want to get across the other side, why shrink back and leave the bridge? As we're walking across the bridge, we face no fear. In the sense, we face no fear. If Jesus is at the other end, when he returns, we're walking towards him. We're going to be okay. We've trusted him. We have nothing to be ashamed of when he returns, because we've continually been trusting in him. If we haven't been trusting in Jesus, we've been trying to find some other bridge, some broken bridge, well, we should be a bit ashamed when Jesus comes. We should be fearful when Jesus comes. Because when Jesus does come, he's going to declare to all the world he is the Lord and King over all things, and everyone's going to be accountable to him. But as we walk, our walk is connected to Jesus if we're in him. The broken, unreliable bridge brings insecurity, whereas Jesus brings security. But clearly, we are safe with him. Clearly, we have full assurance. We have no need to shrink back. Don't worry. Don't turn backwards. Don't try to run the other way. No, continue to trust in Jesus and keep walking forward. In verse 29, he tells us that through Jesus, we have a rebirth. This rebirth is connected to what we looked at last week, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 1, it tells us that we are children of God. We've been reborn, and now we're children of God through Jesus. And as children, we share in a family likeness. So as we're walking on the bridge, we are walking towards Jesus and becoming like Jesus. It was interesting. A little while ago, I was down at the Riverside Park with Millie and Samuel, and there were some people there I knew, and there was one kid I didn't know, but this kid, this young teenager kid, smiled. And his smile, I looked at him and I said, "Can I ask you a question? Is your dad such and such?" And he said, "Yes." "How on earth did you know that?" And I said, "The way you smiled is exactly like your dad. It's exactly like your dad." And then the girl next to me said, "Can you figure out who my dad is?" And I said, "No, I'm sorry." she said her dad is a policeman. And I went, "Oh, that's probably why I can't figure him out." But it was like a bit of a guessing game, and they thought it was a bit of a competition. And then I was at the gym, and the mum came up to me and said, "You met my son the other day in the park, and you seen him. You said he looks like the dad. Looks like my husband, not me." No one's ever said that before. Everyone says he looks like me. And I said, "Well, I've spent a lot of time with your husband. In a sense, he's done work for us, and so that's what I've seen. And I've seen it in his smile." And I went, "Wow." But I've seen it in his smile, just a simple smile. I've seen it. That kid belonged to that guy because the way he looked like the dad. And so if you've been born of God, if God's seed is in you, that's not Seed Community Church, but the gospel seed, is in you, verse 9, which it looks down further, you bear a family likeness. When people see you, they see the Father, they see Jesus as well. As they see your life, there's something about it that they go, "Hey, you remind me of Jesus," because we're in the same family. Verse, I'm going to read this passage. You're going to get sick of this passage, this verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1. But God has made us his children. And so as his children, we become like Jesus. 3 verse 1, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." I think that passage blows me away. I don't know about you. John is telling us that God's love is so amazing, that it's so wonderful, like the song we sing, "How wonderful is the Father's love," that it blows us away. What kind of love that God has for us, that we could be called children of God, and indeed we are. Not because of something we have done, but because Jesus has given us eternal life, and the Father has loved us even though we were sinners. Think about it for a second. We don't deserve to be children of God. Why? Because we are sinners. We are children of wrath. We deserve God's punishment. And yet often when you talk to people, they think that God is obligated to love them. Now, there is a certain general love that God has, but there is a particular love he has for his children. It's evident in the Bible. The truth is that God is not obligated to love everyone in a sacrificial, redemptive way, but he is obligated to judge us. And so often we get this a little bit mixed up. We get this mixed up. I mean, sometimes we get it mixed up, the fact that we have that little saying, "We're all children of God." Well, John actually doesn't say that. He says he's actually children of God and children of the devil. It's pretty black and white, isn't it? That's what he says. He doesn't say everyone's a child of God. He says, no. In fact, before you're a Christian, you're a child of wrath. You're a child of judgment. You're a child of rebellion. So that's two options. There's no grey areas with John. And so what we have is a love that's redeemed us out of that and adopted us as children of God. Jesus came to die for our sins and give us this spiritual rebirth that we're now part of God's family. Not because we love God, no, we were rebels, but because God loved us. That's the amazingness of this love. And that's the confidence that it's God at work. And like I said, you're either a child of God or a child of the devil. Sounds really harsh, doesn't it? It sounds like not so politically correct today. Doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. No. John says it pretty black and white. Either one or the other. But the good news is you don't have to remain a child of the devil if you have Christ. You can become a child of light, a child of Jesus, child of the Father. How do we know who the children of God are? John tells us we practice righteousness. And it's because we live this way, we can be confident that we are a child of God. So how do we know? Well, it's in the way we live. We are now children of God. We walk as children of God. Now, verse 2 says we are children of God, but yet we're not fully like Jesus. In other words, we're not fully righteous. Notice God is righteous and we practice righteousness. There's a big difference. So yes, we are children of God who are pursuing righteousness, and yet we are not sinless. Rather, we are sinning less as we pursue righteousness. And this is what we call in terms sanctification. It's not a word sort of in the Bible as such, but it's sanctification. It's growing more and more like Jesus, as that song said, more of you and less of me, because we belong to God's family. And it's an ongoing work of God's Spirit and His Word in us. As we pursue this righteousness, as we're connected to Jesus, as we live as God's people. And we can feel that, can't we? We can feel the Holy Spirit working in us. We know we sin. When the light of the gospel shines into our hearts, we know that the light shines and says, sin doesn't belong if you're part of God's family. That's why we say pornography doesn't belong in our life. If we are a child of God, greed and lust doesn't belong in our life. If we're a child of God, gossip and harming others doesn't belong in our life. If we're a child of God, they're not the things we pursue, they're not the things we chase after. We are definitely not yet righteous, but we're being transformed. We're being transformed to say no to these things. They're the things that are of the devil. They're the things that Christ died for on the cross. I want to put it a bit like our sort of trying to understand that now and not yet principle. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard that through the Bible. We're sort of being sanctified. We're not there at the end. We're on the bridge. We're getting across. We're changing in Christ. But I thought about it as a bit like a wedding. At a wedding, people get married. Jenna's getting married soon. So at the wedding, you are there at the altar and you're saying the vows. Yet you're not fully married yet. Yet it's happening as you speak. You're being... thinking about that in the sense of the Christian life, you are being sanctified by Jesus. It's happening now. It's happening now. It's like you're there at the altar saying the vows. It's the now and not yet. But you know... in a short time, you will be married. You will be married. And we have the hope that one day, as we're walking across that bridge, one day we will no longer struggle with sin. One day we will be purified. One day we will be pure as Jesus is pure. And on that day, we will look like Jesus. The wedding will have happened and the King has returned. And it'll all be finished. But leading up to that moment, leading up to those words being spoken, you know you're loved. Even if the end result hasn't happened, you know you are loved. Just as a husband or wife are speaking those words, they know they're loved. As we hear Jesus speak, we know we are loved. So as we walk on the bridge, we have confidence. We are walking in the light of Jesus. Confidence we are a child of God, His son, His daughter. Confident we are brothers all together in Christ. If we practice righteousness, it's because we are a child of God. We don't do this because we're trying to be a child of God. We already are a child of God. And so because we are a child of God, we live as a child of God. We live as a member of God's family. And as we live that way, don't be surprised if the world doesn't understand us. Don't be surprised if the world doesn't understand why you don't lie, steal, why you take God's word seriously. All these different things. Don't be surprised when the world says, why don't you sleep around? Don't be surprised because they don't know him and you do. They don't get it, but you do. That's what John wants us to know. You know who you are in Jesus. Our second point is how we behave, and we sort of looked a little bit like, touched a little bit like that in that previous section, but how we behave, family likeness. And the second point is how we behave as children of God, and that is we pursue righteousness. I'm going to read verse 4 to 10. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or know him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So now John's given us a pretty big wake-up call, giving them and us. How do we really know we are a child of God? So we looked at all the reasons why we can become a child of God through Christ and have that security, but how do we really know? How can we walk with assurance? Well, we can clearly see by what John says, it is how we behave, how we pursue righteousness. And there's a sort of flip side of this, how our behaviour will not look like a child of the devil. If we abide in Jesus and we keep on sinning, John tells us we clearly don't know Jesus. John wants to make it clear those who practice sin are of the devil. They still remain as a child in darkness. And John describes sin as lawlessness, verse 4. This is a person who clearly rejects God and his righteousness. They choose to live a life in rebellion to God and rebellion to what Jesus commands. They live for the lusts and desires of the flesh, which we looked at 15 to 17, chapter 2. And they don't see any reason to resist it. They clearly look nothing like God's family. That's because, as John says, they belong to the devil. It's pretty cut and dry. I'm not making this stuff up. This is what it says. Verse 9, how do we know? Well, it says God's seed. God's seed is not in them. The seed is, like I said, not seed, community, church, but the gospel seed, the DNA of God. It's not in them. And so everyone who lives this way is not born of God. These would have been the antichrist that we looked at last week, the false teachers that were causing problems in this particular church John was writing to, trying to lead people astray. But it can be anyone who's not born of Christ. What is anyone who's not born of Christ? As we think of this, it sort of creates a bit of a tension. Creates a bit of a tension because on one hand we've got our salvation, yet the other hand we've got this behaviour of who we are in Christ. Some good Christians teach things like you can lose your salvation. So I'm not saying here that if you are sinning you're going to lose your salvation, okay? Because it says already that if we confess our sins he is faithful. So John's already acknowledging that we sin. So some people struggle with the idea of eternal security. But what John tells us that if you're clearly not living the life as a family of God, not living the life pursuing righteousness, and you're clearly someone of the devil, you never were a child of God. You never were a child of God. You weren't reborn. And so as you see people coming sometimes into churches and saying all the right things and looking right, and yet their life doesn't look like Christ has done anything, they're not a child of God. That's what John is saying. And we often see this in many cults. Many cults will deny Jesus, as we looked at a few weeks back, but their leaders will have lawlessness. They'll have all sorts of sins going on. And John said these people last week can be in Christian circles. And so we have to be cautious. Don't let these people deceive us. Don't let them think that they're a Christian when they're clearly not. Their life, their behaviour does not match whose family they belong to. They still remain in darkness. They still belong to the devil. Whatever they say, whether they promise you they're going to anoint you or give you some revelation of God, if their life doesn't look right, doesn't look like a child of God, they're clearly not. They may seem harsh words, but they're a wake-up call. Because John's very concerned about us. Jesus is very concerned about us. And the very reason that Jesus came, if we look back to where we've been looking at the pursuing of righteousness, is to put an end of sin. So how can you be continuing pursuing sin when Jesus came to put an end to sin? This is not, once again, to say we're sinless. But Jesus came, verse 5, to take away the power and punishment of sin. But he will also appear in the future that we will be sinless like him. So there's a tension. We are not perfect, but we are becoming more and more like Christ. And the key is when Jesus appears. Firstly, when he appeared 2,000 years ago, he dealt with our sins 2,000 years later. When Jesus returns, whenever that is, we will be like him. It'll be done. It's all about Jesus. The devil, he's been sinning since the beginning, but he's been defeated on the cross. But there's still a battle. John is giving us warnings. You say you know Jesus, you say you know God, but clearly your life does not pursue it. Everything about it is the opposite. By this, verse 10, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever practices righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So we have a test, a tester. Do you behave as God's children? Do you behave as a child of God? Do you pursue a life of righteousness? Do you love your brothers and sisters in God's family? This is how we are to behave. I want you to think about this for the moment, because I try to think of an illustration of how to explain the Christian life. Imagine you're going to a footy match, okay, and you're seeing Ben Brown, who's North Melbourne, I believe. I looked this up, I'm not a football person. Okay, imagine if you've seen Ben Brown for North Melbourne continually kicking goals in the Collingwood's goals. Every time his teammate passes the ball, he runs to the other side and kicks it straight, centre kick, into Collingwood's, into the Pies' goals. Now you'd be sitting there looking, that makes no sense whatsoever. You'd be probably horrified if you were a North Melbourne supporter. And you'd have to ask the question, why is he doing that? It makes no sense. You would have to ask, whose team is he really on? That's what you'd have to be asking. Clearly he doesn't love his team, or he doesn't love those in the team. Every time they pass the ball, kicks it to the opposition goal. And so it is if we belong to God's family, God's team. We're kicking goals in the right place, not into the opposition's goals. We are playing as a team within God's family, not opposing each other. And it's hard to believe why, as a believer, you'd be spending your day thinking about sin and pursuing it, rather than training yourself in righteousness. You'd have to ask the question, whose team do you really belong to? Whose goals are you really kicking? Are you in God's family or the devil's family? The evidence is in how you behave. If we continually are going straight to porn without kicking up, without putting up a fight, you're aiming, kicking, without putting up a fight, you're aiming and kicking in the complete opposite direction, the goals. If you continually go off the rails, blow a fuse, kick a dog, and see nothing wrong with that, whose goals are you kicking? Whose goals are you kicking, not just the dog? You know, those around you may be asking the question, and there's plenty of other things I could put in there, I just named a couple. People around you would be asking the question, whose team do you play for? Are you on God's team or the devil's team? You can tell by the way you play the game. It doesn't mean that sometimes as you're aiming for the goals, you're going to get it out of bounds on the full. It doesn't mean sometimes you're going to hit the post. It doesn't mean you're going to get it perfect. It's not saying that we're without sin as Christians. We've already seen that in chapter 2. That if we do sin, we have Jesus who has dealt with our sins. But are you clearly kicking goals in the right direction? In the right goals. That's the key. Are you practicing righteousness and Christ-like behaviour? One way to practice righteousness is getting into God's word, training the training ground for righteousness. So often we're running to the opposition's training ground. We're going to the porn sites, we're going to the gossip magazines, whatever else it is to distract us. And we wonder why, even if we're Christians, sometimes we may look like a child of the devil. Even if we are in Christ, just a few things in our life. Well, it could be because our training ground's all the wrong spots. Rather than going to God's word, spending time in prayer. What is Jesus teaching us today through this letter? Well, God wants us to be firstly confident that we are his child. He doesn't want us to shrink back, but walk with assurance over the bridge, which is Jesus. We are now children of God, so as children of God, we are to pursue righteousness. We're now children of God who say no to sin and yes to becoming more like Jesus. We don't kick goals for the other team. Think about that next time you're tempted to sin. I'm not kicking goals for the opposition team. I always think when I'm doing it, I'm not sipping salt water. I don't want to sip salt water. I've read a book and it talks about sipping salt water and it always makes you thirsty. Sin and unrighteousness always make you thirsty. It's never enough. That's why we keep on going back to it. That's why we keep on repeating sins. Because it's salt water. You're never satisfied with it. And it actually makes you feel a bit delirious after a while. Hey? And so we pursue purity. We can have confidence as a child of God as we pursue that purity and that we are pure, that one day Jesus will make us like him. Confidence. Confidence. So right now you're practicing kicking goals of righteousness, knowing that one day you will be righteous like Jesus, which is the end result. It's where you're walking towards. So we can walk knowing that God loves us and it's eternal, but we have no regard for what Jesus tells us. Rather, we need to know the love of God and have it transfer into our hearts. Knowing that we are children, we should stand up and say, I'm a child of God. I don't worry about what culture says. I don't worry about how culture doesn't understand me. That is perishing. Darkness is going. But what I have in Jesus is eternal. And so I will walk with assurance, pursuing Christ-likeness, because I belong to God's family. It's not based on what I've done. I don't belong to God's family because of what I've done. It's because of Jesus. But because I belong to God's family, now I live as a child of God. You know, when people see my daughter Millie, they see me. They see me, you know. And so if we belong to God's family, people ought to see Jesus in you. They ought to see a family resemblance in how you behave. Don't ever think that because you're a Christian, you can live however you feel. This is not the case. Our behaviour matters because we belong to God's family. Like I said earlier, it matters not to earn our salvation, but it reveals that we are part of God's family, that we are redeemed. So God wants us to walk with assurance. But in doing this, don't fool ourselves. If we really are a child of God, it'll affect our behaviour and we'll be more like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you remind us, Lord, that our walk is like being on a team. And Lord, so often our lives can just turn around and look at the other goalposts. And Lord, help us to turn and focus on who we are as your children. Lord, help us to not be kicking goals for the devil. Lord, that's our previous life. Lord, that's life without you. And Lord, help us to see there are two ways to live for life. We either belong to you as a child of God or we belong to the devil. There is no other grey area. Lord, help us to be confident that if we are behaving as a child of God, we belong to your family. It's not a way to secure our salvation, but to give us assurance that we are saved. Lord, help us all to continue to walk that bridge in confidence, trusting in you in everything we do. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen.